everyone. Welcome to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And it is good to be back with all of our listeners and good to be back with you, Rick. Hopefully you had a good Easter weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little windy here, but I went off to the, I photographed little ones on their egg hunt.
So that was fun.
Which is always a challenge. But it did remind me that cameras that have good human detection subject modes are very useful. So it's more than just faces and eyes. It's when the cameras have subject detection that can include heads and torsos, it becomes a very it's a viable use of that kind of thing.
And one subtlety with them too is, does everything still work when the head is in profile?
Or even turned away from you.
Yeah.
And that's something that...
Or does it jump to something else?
Right. Earlier cameras, earlier implementations of human face detection would only see faces at some point. And if they weren't looking at you, they could get fooled by glasses even.
Mm-hmm.
So the newer algorithms that are in the newer cameras are substantially improved, and it becomes a way of shooting. So that was, you know, that, because little kids under the age of 5 running around trying to find Easter eggs, that's a camera torture test, right?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a
that's
you know
not
they're,
easy.
It's completely unpredictable. They're not wearing nice, you know, athletic jerseys with numbers. I mean, it's very hard to focus on them using traditional AF tools. It's just challenging. But subject detection can be equally problematic if it's not finding the right subject.
Right.
So it was nice.
It's good, you know, that it worked out.
Yeah, it's just testing some stuff. But today we're going to talk about a couple of different things. One sort of gear topic, and I'm going to use the term gear in loose quotes because it's not like fancy, you know, expensive lenses and stuff, but it's a money saving tip potentially. And then we'll have a more creative topic about some alternative cropping ideas a little later. One other thing. We still have one space available to join us in Crescent City, California.
Yep, it was all full. We had someone that was unfortunately not able to attend
there
at
was
the
a
last minute.
Conflict came up.
Those things happen.
Right. So if you want to join us, there is still a chance. The registration is open. We posted a link to that on our Facebook page over the weekend. So if you go over to Facebook and look for the Image Doctors, you'll find that there. It's also, I believe, on our other website, our blog site, imagedoctorsphoto.com, and that'll take you to the registration page. We have the one space left, and that you can join us for a real fun trip to the Redwoods, to the coastal seascapes of Northern California. Very North California and Southern Oregon, which is just great places to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're off to go view the eclipse this week, right?
Yeah.
So are you going to shoot it?
No.
Okay. Which is a whole different thing. I shot the total eclipse a couple of years ago, but you got to get fancy, super dark filters. Do not point your camera at the sun, people. Don't, regardless of the temptation, do not do this.
Yeah.
You need a strong filter for that to work.
I just want to experience it. That's it.
Yeah, it's a cool experience for sure.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. That'll be good. So you can tell us all about it when you get back next week. So
that'll
be cool.
Be able to do some other things where I'm heading, which is Little Rock.
Oh, actually. Okay. There's lots of interesting history there for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not doing anything exciting this week, so you're going to have to just, I'll live vicariously through your photos. That's
okay.
All good. Anyhow, let's talk a little bit about some accessories that you've been coming across. And this goes way, 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 way back in time, because once upon a time, we're going to trade shows or we're looking around, and we both like Arca Swiss plates and brackets and things like that, right? I mean, it's just kind of a given that we use them.
They work really well.
And this sort of fits in also with tripod manufacturing. And about 15 years ago, there were some knockoff, some companies like in China making effectively Gitzo knockoffs and then L bracket and ball head sort of copies of designs from some of the US manufacturers. And if I recall at the time, it was when you tried some, it was pretty hit or miss, right?
Well, and even more recently, just going back just a few years, one of the things I've found is that the US companies are really not putting out the new designs like they used to. It used to be that you could pretty much rely on really right stuff, which is the one that I liked the most, and Kirk, which was right in there in second place for me. They were very good too. They would get out L brackets for most new cameras, and they would, get them out fairly quickly, and life was good. And what I've seen is both companies are waiting a while, it seems like, to put out new designs, and they won't even necessarily come out with them for new cameras across the board. They'll just do selective ones. Prices have gotten pretty high too. At the same time, the Chinese manufacturers have really ramped up their game, and for a while there, what I was doing, which was kind of crazy, was getting some inexpensive L bracket to get me by the first, let's say, 4 or 5 months using a camera, and then switch to something like the really right stuff one when it came on the market, because it was still nicer and had some virtues. And I had issues with those earlier Chinese L brackets and stuff. Sometimes they would just kind of fall apart on me. All the screws would come out right in the middle of the shooting session. I could
They
get them
tended to
back
be
together.
really light. They didn't seem as robust sometimes.
No, the fit wasn't always good. They didn't always work with the quick release system that really right stuff makes for their ball
The
heads,
lever clamp
the
thing.
lever clamp, and I like
Right.
those lever clamps. So they
Me
had
too.
several issues. What I've found in more recent times, and where it really showed up for me the first time, was with the newer GFX, Fuji GFX medium format camera. I ended up getting a Pi Pro brand, PEIPRO, which I had also owned for an earlier GFX camera. Both of them are really good. The new one is just like perfect. And I had originally planned on replacing it with a really right stuff one when it came out. And from what I can tell, it's at least as nice in terms of the functions, the layout, the
Oh,
thought
that's
put
cool.
into it. And it fits perfectly. It fits, works with the lever clamp thing just fine. So I canceled the order for the really right stuff one. I was just shocked. So these things really have improved. The prices are dramatically lower, like about a third. There are obviously some
Right.
other factors, and I'm not going to get into all the
Well,
political dimensions and
I had a
everything.
thing, same issue when I got my Z9. There was only one option out there, and that was from a company called Small Rig, and they're still around. They make they and
That's the
they
one I
seem to be
was referring
getting,
to where things fell apart on me.
well, and they've gotten better, right?
They
So I
have.
had it because it was really at the time the only option. I did end up getting a secondary one because it was a little bit more robust. It was sturdier, didn't have as much flex in it. Some of that is a design challenge with the Z9 body, but as a constraint. But I remember just looking at the tripods and stuff at a trade show that we went to. Gosh, it was probably 2006 or so. I mean, it was a long time ago, right? And you'd see these knockoff tripods from some of these companies, and you're just going, man, these are just cheap. They don't seem. And someone said, yeah, give them 10 years. And we're kind of there now. It's been more than that, but there are a lot of tripod brands that are less expensive, carbon fiber designs, for example, that I wouldn't have even touched 10 plus years ago. And now they're just a very good alternative to spending huge dollars on a, Gitzo or something. So it's just interesting how things have come along.
One thing I'll add to it though, because there's a class of brackets or whatever that are not L brackets, so they don't offer that really cool switch between vertical and horizontal framing that makes L brackets wonderful for tripod shooting. But there is a class of them that's really oriented more toward handheld shooting. And while they have an Arca Swiss mount on the base, not on the side, because it's not an L bracket, they often give you a more substantial grip or lengthen the grip where it's so it's a little bit more comfortable with your hands, especially if your hands are a little bit larger. And it really can make a difference
Yeah, I
in
had that
terms
with the
of comfort.
ZFC. I had one for the ZFC. It was that plate on the bottom, but then it added a larger grip and it made the camera more comfortable to shoot with.
It really can transform a camera, and I've seen that multiple times now. So, the part one of our little discussion was the Chinese ones have really improved a lot and they're pretty good if we're talking about L brackets. And then there the whole set of the others, which often are made in China. And I wouldn't ignore those as a supplement to your camera, especially if it's one that is on the small side or does not have a very substantial grip, and that's important to you. They can just make the experience like night and day.
I agree. Well, it's a good thing to look at. Maybe we need to it'd be a good topic for our blog and list off some of the ones that you've tried and whatnot. So we'll work on that. Moving forward, let's talk about alternative crops. I remember once upon a time we were speculating about things and you had said, what if cameras had a square sensor instead of a rectangular one? And then you shoot everything square and you can crop after the fact. You don't get to this. And that's an interesting thought.
Well, it's the old Hasselblad
Right. It's
approach.
two and a half or two and a quarter by
Yeah, you
whatever it
didn't have to
was.
turn the camera sideways or whatever. You shot everything the same and then cropped in the dark room.
Right. Now, I think some of those crops can be useful. Like sometimes, so most 35 millimeter format, they use the 3:2 crop ratio. So that's their native size. And then they sometimes offer different crops. There's also, of course, the 4/3 format, which you get in the micro 4/3, of course, but that's 4:3. That's the same aspect as your phone if you use the smartphone. It
And
has
it's
that.
also the same aspect ratio as my medium format camera.
Okay, good to know that one too. So that's usually what you get as choices in, native crops. And then oftentimes there's ways to crop differently. And then we can talk about two different things. One is what you've already mentioned, cropping after the fact. And we're talking about cropping for creative purposes, not because, oh, I framed it wrong. There's that too, but we're talking about a create where you make the choice to say, I'm going to go with maybe a panoramic crop, or a 16 by 9. Or maybe you want, maybe you like to post to Instagram or something and you want a square crop or a traditional 4 by 5 crop to make 8 by 10, prints that fit in. The challenge that I've had, maybe you too, I don't know, is that when I look through my viewfinder in my camera, I rarely will be changing the crop in the camera. And I'm just not thinking about, I'm not always pre-visualizing what would work for one of those alternative crops, especially something like square, right? Where all of a sudden, so there's some workarounds. And some of this will really depend on the camera that you're using. So for example, in my Nikon cameras that I've used over the years, they had native 3:2. They would then do the DX crop, which is also 3:2, just cropped in tighter. Usually a 4 by 5 option. And then maybe there would be some kind of 16 by 9, or it just sort of depends. If you shoot that way, or square, that was an option sometimes too. They would give you square. If you shoot that way, the benefit of it is that your viewfinder now reflects the crop area. So you can frame things up better.
Makes it a lot easier to compose a shot.
Absolutely, right? I mean, this is the thing. One of the things I've been playing around with recently was the idea of, vintage film treatments, right? And one vintage film that thought is Polaroid. And Polaroids were actually square. It's just that the film itself had the border around it, and you can. So if I wanted to make something that looked like a Polaroid print, vintage with a border, I'd want a square photo. So having a square crop to start from is useful. So you can look in your camera and just see if it offers those. Now, one thing though that's different is whether or not all camera systems treat crops the same way when you shoot raw.
No, they definitely don't.
So in the
I can think
case
of
of,
three different specific cases.
okay, well, I know the two off the top of my head. So when I was shooting with Nikon stuff, when I shoot with Nikon stuff, if you change to either DX or 4x5 or whatever, the image is cropped in the camera and the raw file reflects that crop. It will have smaller pixel dimensions. It will be, that's what it is. Sometimes that's advantageous from a different, with smaller files. If you're shooting, I would use DX crop for telephoto work all the time. And on mirrorless cameras, the viewfinder enlarges. It's not like you get the little tunnel vision grid lines anymore.
So it's
But you
very
are,
usable.
it's very usable for certain kinds of photography. But you don't have the opportunity to capture the, whatever is cropped is gone. It's permanent. It's deleted. There's another example of cropping with RAW that I've seen in the OM system cameras, in which the crop in the viewfinder and the image is cropped, but the RAW file is the entire frame. And it includes a soft crop that is read by either the camera software or is applied. Lightroom will read it, for example. It reads the crop box, but you can go into the crop mode and undo it, and there's the entire 4x3 frame. That's kind of clever, in my opinion, for some kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and Fujis will do that too. And we've talked a little bit about that in the past. The key with Fujis is you need to shoot in RAW plus JPEG mode. And then programs like Lightroom, not every program, will actually look at the JPEG dimensions and framing and apply that to the RAW file. So it's actually Lightroom re looking at the JPEG and
See.
applying it to the RAW. But it's super useful because if you find your aspect ratio was, too far in the panoramic realm, for example, you can add some height in or whatever. You can just
Right, you can
make it
do.
ever you want it to be, and that's a useful thing.
Right.
I was going to say the other thing that's out there is nothing happens whatsoever with the RAW file. You can shoot and get JPEGs that are formatted correctly,
Right.
but the RAW file has absolutely no indications or clues that there was something else done time of
Right.
shooting. And some cameras work that way.
And that's not bad either, as long as you're willing to
No.
go. Like if you're trying to compose something for a 4x5 or a square crop and the raw file comes out, you can always just crop it. I mean, that's presumably your subject placement in the frame will allow you to get the placement, but you'll have a little bit of slop where you can, finesse that crop box a little differently because you're not cutting off the edges of the picture itself.
And what I would personally do if I had a camera where there were no indications in the RAW file, or it just wasn't, cropped that way, I would probably shoot in RAW plus JPEG because the JPEG would be a reminder to me of what my intent was when I
Right.
took the shot. And, weeks later, I wouldn't be going, why in the heck did I make this stupid shot? That's all
Right.
boring.
Well, I do that all the time, Rick. So, I mean, hey, some of us aren't as lucky.
Here's a question for you, though. Having tried several different formats at this point, what do you think is your most natural one? Is there such a thing for you?
Oh, it was natural.
And let's
You
just
mean
talk
like framing?
horizontal ones first.
Well, rectangular, rectangles is how I learned
Yeah.
photography, right? 35 millimeter.
But I don't think we've been talking circular ones.
No, I haven't done anything circular. Although I did try that Nikon fisheye lens that does circular stuff. It's funny because spending almost the last year shooting mostly with the 4/3 format, it's grown on me a lot more than I thought it would have. The 3-2 seems too narrow. And partly also, I think if you do a lot of cell phone photography, which we all just end up doing anyway, even if it's just super casual stuff, it's the same. So when I go back and I look at my Nikon files, I'm like, man, these are skinny. They're too short. They're not tall enough on the short edge. So I find that for certain kinds of shooting, like landscape stuff, I appreciate that. Having a little bit more, potentially more foreground, more sky, and things aren't lopped off as much. It's also a lot easier to get to 4 to 4 by 5 from 4 to 3,
It's pretty close.
without radically cropping. Here is an example of, I mean, this is our problem, right? If you want to get something out of a commercially available frame, matte, whatever, 99% of the time you're going to find 8 by 10, 4 by 5 aspect, 8 by 10, 11 by 14, 16 by 20. And if you've composed the shot in camera at 3-2, boy, that image takes a hit when you crop it because it's not tall. And so you just lose a lot there. Whereas if you were starting with something like 4 by 3, the crop is almost just a little bit off the edges. It's not too bad.
Yeah, that's a very easy move.
So I'm enjoying 4/3 more than I mean, I just looked through the camera and composed. Like, it's not like I had to worry, but my brain couldn't handle something, and I use grid lines in my viewfinder, which is nice. You know what would be nice, and I haven't looked too carefully. I like the option of being able to have the full raw file, so that I can go back and crop it differently, should I choose. But I need to go back and look. This is one of the things I haven't done in a while. It would be really great for cameras to have crop indicators in the viewfinder, like with the grid lines, so you could compose that way while still seeing the entire frame. And I don't know if they do or not. I can't remember. It's one of those settings that I haven't really paid too much attention to. So I don't know. Do you know if that happens in any of your cameras?
You mean where you can still see the area outside the
Right,
grid?
where you're looking at the viewfinder, but the only thing, it would just be a an overlay of the grid. And I don't know if that is
I
a
can't
thing
remember
or
which
not.
one, but there's even one that allows you to vary the opacity of the area outside the crop. So it can be pure black,
Oh, that's cool.
or it can be partially visible or completely visible just with a line. So there are lots of interesting variations. And you can make a case for all of them, frankly. One of the
Yeah.
things I'll say is that for me, I like the 4 by 3 or approximately that kind of a framing. It feels pretty comfortable for most shots. That's especially true if I'm doing something in portrait orientation, where a 3 by 2 just feels way too tall, just way too tall. And I almost always end up cropping off both the top and bottom and ending up with something that looks like a 4 by 3 ratio. However, a couple others that I really enjoy. Sometimes I really enjoy square crops, and I think they can be absolutely great and fun to shoot. And a special feature with my medium format camera is it will also do a what is often called the X-pan format. It's a 65 by 24 format because that film format was 65 millimeters by 24
Yeah,
millimeters.
right.
And it's kind of skinny and very panoramic, but it can also be very cool and very fun to shoot with. So for me, the ones I like the best are the 4x3. I like the square, and I like the very panoramic X-pan crop.
Yeah, I was just looking through my OM1 Mark II, and with the exception of the 16x9, where you get a box that you can, if you were going to compose it for things to be used in videos later, with the idea being that you want to put this still shot into a video, having those crop lines while still seeing the entire frame, it offers everything else, though, is just the full frame. So with the OM camera, obviously, I can have the viewfinder cropped itself, but in which case, your grid lines are just on the crop, but you get the full photo out with RAW. So that's probably how I would shoot it if I wanted to do square crops, would just put the camera into square 1x1 crop mode. But then, of course, you don't know what's on the outside. You don't know what the rest of your composition looks like. So I don't know. I liked how, this was an old school thing with the Nikon DSLRs, where when you put it into the crop mode, because it was an optical viewfinder, it would just kind of mask the areas around. That had pros and cons, but it's an idea where if you had a masked area, in where you weren't necessarily shooting in a crop, but you could mask the viewfinder in a certain way, that could be useful too. But there's a lot of opportunities for that. So it depends, depending on what camera you have. I think in this particular instance, the Nikon implementation is the most restrictive because it truly crops the RAW file. And while that has benefits for certain kinds of shooting, it also means you're throwing away pixels that you'll never get back. So just take a look at the settings in your camera. But I find with some, vintage treatments or putting creative borders on photos, these alternative crops can be pretty fun.
And they can be fun just by themselves too, just as straight shots. I would encourage people to try that as well.
Well, and higher resolution cameras and good lenses have gotten so good that, the idea of needing to stitch something into a panoramic photo is it's quickly, it's not as
It's eroded.
necessary as, yeah, I mean, it
It's a
has its
need.
merits, but you can just shoot with a wider lens and get a lot of detail. So it's kind of fun stuff. Well, I think that is all the time we have for today. So please consider going over to imagedoctorsphoto.com, check out our blog, become a sponsor. That'll open up, unlock things like bonus episodes on videos and things like that, as well as other content on our website. And hopefully you will consider joining us in Crescent City, California in May. And we look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, happy shooting.
All right, bye-bye.